You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, wig hackers. Welcome to my podcast, and you're tuning in. So we have a special guest today. It is an amazing wig maker. Everyone, please give a warm round of applause. I don't know if you can hear them, but everyone, Shay Terrell is here. Woo, woo, woo. Oh my gosh. So we met on Facebook, first and foremost. I just wanted to jump in there.
We met on Clubhouse, remember?
Get out of my... what?
Yeah, we met on Clubhouse. Remember, that's how we got connected on Facebook.
Oh, my... See? Look it. I think I'm being smart over here. Oh,
It's okay.
Clubhouse has really changed the game for a lot of people.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and then fell off the earth. Ugh. But you know. Sorry, Clubhouse. Give us a little intro about you. Tell the people listening what do you do? How did you start? Give me your spiel.
I'll start from the beginning. My name is Lachey Trio, guys. Hi. So I'm 30 years old now. I started making wigs in 2015. So it's probably like about seven years ago. I actually got into making wigs from I was in school full time. So I was doing something totally different. I was in school for software development, something totally different, computer electronics, computer engineering. Y'all know, like, going to school, you need money, different things like that. So I couldn't pay for my daycare one day, and I was trying to figure out how I needed to pay for my daycare. I had started making wigs for myself because I was pregnant at the time. I was working 60 hours a week. I also was going to school full time. So I was trying to figure out what I needed to do. My hair was super, super long, about 60 inches long. I had to do my hair every day. I didn't have time for that. So I started making wigs for myself. So one of my family members told me probably like a month before I actually needed the money that I could start selling the wigs. So once I needed money for daycare, I went home crying and I was trying to figure out what I needed to do with the money. Now, at the time, I had purchased enough hair to make three wigs. I had only made two for myself, and I remembered I had a closure and three bundles left. So I made that wig and I sold that wig in less than 2 hours of me posting on Facebook. So I've been making wigs ever since.
Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Okay. Well, I mean, that's how it works. So okay. So then what was the most difficult part of wig making that you've come into?
Trying to make wigs on a sewing machine, that was probably the hardest thing to do, specifically because, you know, when it comes to making a wig, it has to be rounded out. And when you're using a sewing machine, if you're not using the industrial sewing machine, you have to make sure that it remains flat. You have to make sure that it doesn't bulk up. You have to make sure that it doesn't stretch out. It can be a lot of different type of difficulties that come with making wigs on a sewing machine. It probably took me about a good 6 months to master that, and now it only takes me 2 weeks to teach it.
Boo. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we can jump there. So now you teach.
Yeah.
So how was that transition? Because that is also a whole different world from just, you know, mm-hmm. whipping out a wig to, you know, then like, oh, seeing where they are and where their brain is at and what.
Yes.
So why did you start teaching?
I actually started teaching by accident. I wanted to expand my platform. So I went to YouTube for a little while. I'm still on YouTube. I just haven't done a lot on YouTube within the last year or so. But when I first got on YouTube, I just started putting up like small tutorials, and I was so scared and so terrified that you would only see my hands. Like if you go back to a lot of my old videos, you only saw my hands. I would not show my face, anything. So I said, okay, hey, I had a lot of people coming to find me. They was like, I found you on YouTube. So I was like, wow, they found me on YouTube. I need to really start putting my face out there. And I was getting my com I'm sorry, people in my comments were like, we want to see your face. Can we get to know you a little bit better? We want to know your personality. So I just went from there, from YouTube, and then people started contacting me from YouTube and was like, hey, can I get a one-on-one class with you? So that's pretty much how teaching started. And that was about 2.5 years ago. So probably actually 3 years ago. It was a year before the pandemic.
Okay, so let's take you way, way back. How
Yeah.
did you start with hair?
How did I start with hair? I was 14 when I started actually doing my own hair, and I started doing like my little cousin's hair. I honestly, my mom, when she used to do my hair, I used to hate the style she used to put in there. She used to put like, I didn't know what they were called at the time, but my mom would braid my hair all the way up and then put like three Bantu knots in my head. So I would have one in the middle, two on the sides, and I would get picked on at school for it. So, I would take my hair down and do my hair before I would redo my hair before I went back home that day. I would still get in trouble because my mom knew I was planning my hair. So that was my experience of planning my hair. When it came to like styling and coloring, once I hit like 14, 15, 16, I just went crazy with the color, the styling, everything. When I was 16, I probably colored my hair about six times in 1 year. So, and I learned a lot with that.
Oh my God. So what is one misconception of wigs that the world has?
What's one misconception of wigs that the world has?
Very deep, very deep.
That's a deep question. That's tough. What's one misconception that people have? I know when I first started, I'll say this one first. Well, I'll say this one. A lot of people think that wigs were like for like grandmas. I'll say that. Like when I first started making wigs, people were looking at me like, you're making wigs? And a lot of people be like, no, don't do that. You're gonna waste your money. Don't invest in that, anything. But once I started making the wigs and they saw how modern they were, a lot of people were more accepting of that.
Okay, so how many wigs do you own personally?
Me personally, right now, I only own five. Now, yeah, so I only have five. Had I not, honestly, because something that I like to do, so once a year I'll do like a wig auction where I'll sell new wigs, and then I also sell gently used wigs. So just the wigs that I only wore one time, I'll sell those within the auction. So normally I'll have, by the end of each year, I normally have anywhere between 10 to 30 wigs for myself. So I'll sell them off to other people that want them, because a lot of people will contact me asking for those wigs specifically.
Do you have like the normals that you make? Like, or is it like how customized do you get?
I pretty much do everything but ventilating. So that's the only thing I don't really dive and dab in. Now, if I have to reventilate someone's wig that they have already purchased from me, then I will do that. Let's say I have like a little bald spot or something, or it's the hairline is coming back. I'll redo that, but actually doing it from scratch, I actually have not. I don't bother with it, to be honest. I prefer to just buy the bundles, the closures, and the fronts on there and put it together from scratch that way.
I do not blame you at all. So now, I don't know your prices, so we can, but what would you say the difference is between like a $250 wig and a $5,000 wig?
Obviously, it's always going to be density. A $250 wig is going to be very thin. A $5,000 wig is going to be very thick and luxurious looking. I feel as though more times than not, the $250 wig is not going to look as, it's not going to have that glamour look, that shine, that razzle dazzle. The $5,000 wig is going to be like, bam, it's going to be in your face. Every turn, it's going to be super shiny. It's not going to be dull, anything. They also maintain a whole lot better. The $2 wig is going to shed. Obviously, the $5,000 wig is going to be at least close to 99%, if not 100% secure.
See, look at you are just giving out all of the answers. So So you do have this huge Facebook following. How did that happen?
By
I mean.
accident. It happened by accident, to be honest. I went to sleep one day and I think I went to sleep one day and I had 500 followers. I woke up the next morning, I had 3,000 followers. So when I got to 3,000 followers, I was able to, back then, this was a few years ago. So back then, this is when Facebook only, they were giving out monetization status to people who had 1,000 followers or more. So now it's 10,000, but you had to have 1,000. And then they were giving out milestones to be able to grow. So by them, you can go to like Facebook University and they'll give you different tips and things to help you grow your page. But sometimes, a lot of the time, it's just when I put out really dope content, I'll have like thousands and thousands of people that'll follow me at once. But it was literally by accident.
Because I see now you have like posting reels is a big thing, you know. And I'm not gonna lie, I jumped on the train with you when you yelled, I listened. So I did post, and it is they're doing the things, they are pushing them out. So I mean, so how long have you been in the Facebook group world then? You know what I mean? Like, how long have you been in that? Because for 75,000 people in your group, you know, that's a big undertaking and
Well, I'm sorry,
content.
it's close to 50,000. I can't wait to 75,000 though. Speaking into existence for me, thank
Hey.
you. But that was, to be honest, my first wig that I sold was from a person from a Facebook group. So that's when I learned that the more you post your work into those groups, that's how you also get people to follow you on your actual business page as well. So I've always been very heavy in those groups from day one. Like the day that I started making money in them was, I was just like, bam. And then I noticed a lot of other groups had a whole lot of other different rules that I just didn't really like or mess with. So that was when I made the choice to start growing my own group. The way that I was able to grow it, to the numbers that they are right now, to almost 50,000. I have a team which they also do their own part. So I have about, right now I have about 25 other wig makers that help me with the group. They also, I allow them to post their work as much as they want for 24 hours, 24/7. And they just do their part with bringing in people as well. So I understood very early that I couldn't do it all by myself.
Oh, because it's a lot. So how do you balance? You know, because like what is what keeps you balanced? How do you get that like
to be honest, I'm not even gonna lie to you. I don't know. I really honestly don't. I'm a very impulsive person, not on a bad way, but when I want to do something business-wise, I just jump on it. So I think that. And I'm very determined as well. So I'm going to see something through. The immediate time I have, I'm sorry, I'm mixing words up. Immediately when I have an idea in my brain, I'm automatically, if I don't start it within the next hour, I'm going to start it within the next 24 to 48 hours. So once I hop on the idea, I'm going to be determined. I think I have a kind of toxic determination. Like no matter how bad things get, I just cannot give up. I cannot stop. I will literally be crying and then get up like, I can do this. I can do this. It's nothing.
What was your the number, not the price? What is the number of the most wigs you've sold in a month?
In a month,
Yeah, why
I
not? Your biggest month.
sold. And when, oh, I had a sale last year. I had a blowout sale last year in February. I sold 200 wigs that last year. It was dope.
Get it. Oh my gosh. So for new wig makers out there, because you know there are different, everyone has their own way, you know, there's no right way to do anything. What would you suggest to someone listening that is new, just you know, doing the content dives as we all do, be it YouTube University, podcasts, you know, education? What would be your top three tips to give them?
Top three tips.
Yes.
Stay determined. Do not listen to anyone, unless they're giving you sound advice. Let's say under the wing of sort of a mentor. And number three, think outside of the box. Do find out things. Study your competition. Figure out things that they are not doing yet and where you can make your own lane. If you can figure out what people are not doing yet, you can get thousands and thousands of people to gravitate to you for just that one specific thing that you're good at.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you've been plowing through these questions. What was the aha moment that you like you have to do it full time? Like, what was that talk in your head? Because I know a lot of people that come over to the wig world, you know, and I know a lot of people listening were in your shoes, you know, where they have a full-time job and they're like going strong, going hard, but then they had to make the commitment to switch. What was
Yes, I do. I had received my paycheck. My last job that I had was in 2018. I worked for the post office. I was a clerk at the post office. I was making $22 an hour at that job. When my payout for my website and my direct deposit from the post office hit the exact same time, my payout from my website was double my paycheck from my post office job. And I had noticed that my next payout was going to be double that again. So that's when I was like, I need to quit. Specifically because, like, working in the post office, a lot of people don't know, it's kind of like working in a plant. So this is a very demanding job. They would throw hours at you just like crazy. So I was working probably like 14, 16 hours a day. I could not do that anymore because I had an overwhelming amount of orders.
Wow. So mentally, what did you go through? Was it a struggle? Was it like a back and forth? Or was it like a, nah, see you later?
No, it was a nah, see you later. I'm a very straightforward person. Once I get an idea in my head, I'm stuck on it. Like,
right. So you were like, bye.
you can't put in a 2 weeks notice with government jobs. I had to put in a 6 week notice. So I'm like, all right, 6 weeks. I'll see you guys later. Like,
6 weeks. Crickets.
Yes.
Okay. Where else can we go? What was your hardest wig you ever made?
Hardest wig I ever made. They're all hard if you ask me. To be honest, I feel like they're all equally hard. Just because sometimes formulas can mess up the formula sometimes by accident. Unfortunately, then you have to go in and correct things. The best thing about being a colorist is knowing how to correct things. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, I'll say that any wig that I have to color is sometimes almost the hardest wig.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So you have some courses that are out. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell the people, tell my wig hackers all about them. What are you teaching? When are you teaching? Give them the full rundown.
So my very first class that I created is called the Wig Print One. And that's when I basically teach the business side of the wig industry. Now with that, you can learn, I teach you how to set up your LLC, everything from the legal side, your EIN, trademark, copyright. This is also going to take you through what type of vendors to work with. It's a lot of information packed in there. I can't think of it off top, but it's really, really dope. And you can be done with that class within about 30 to 45 days, which is really, really dope. So it's basically everything that I wish I had in a startup package to get me running that I had to figure out for about 3 years, put into a package where you can do in, like I said, 30 to 45 days. The part two to that class is my wig print cheat sheet. So that's where I teach you how to make the money, how to double the sales. That's where I teach you where to pull your customers from, how to keep your customers, retain your customers. See, I know a lot more about that one. as well as, that one is jam-packed with a lot of different things too. So anything that you could think, so like how you do with your wig hacks, I did like with the little cheat sheet with the how to make money hacks.
Yeah.
I put in there. and how to get customers in and how to build your client base, your followers, different things like that. Because obviously we all know that, you know, followers are where the coin's at. That's the pre, those are going to be the people that are going to be shopping with you. I also have online classes with making wigs, curling wigs. I'm also trying to start up in my other class where I'm trying to teach people how to make money doing reels. So I'm trying to teach that right now as well. So yeah, a lot. It's
that
a lot.
Alone. To be honest, just the reels one, just from your one talk, I think you did like an hour and a half talk I watched, and you just went in. I know. I was feeling away. I'm like, I guess I should press pause and start my reels. Like, so keep doing it. Oh my gosh, where can people find you? Let's give them all your deeds.
So any handle at Lachey Tria, anything. Except for on TikTok. On TikTok is Pimp Daddy Shay.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Hey guys, so thank you so much for coming on to my podcast. I am so happy we could chit chat, and Gab, we have to do it again. You know, we should probably make this a regular thing. So
I agree.
And Gab. All right, everybody, make sure you check out Shay so you can find her anywhere that she is. Her stuff will be in the description below. And then until next time, bye, everybody.
Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.